start this morning by looking at this pretty easy one here. Loving God with our whole being. And we start in verse 28. And you'll notice as we just read that the scribe came up and heard them disputing. Interesting Greek word, disputing, doesn't really mean to solve the issue. It just means that these guys were arguing for the sake of arguing, trying to get their own point across. And notice they were with one another. And then he asked Jesus a very good question. By the way, I would say that this scribe is, I like him. I like this scribe. We've seen a lot of scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees that we didn't like as we've gone through the book of Mark. But I like this scribe. He's serious. He wants to know what is important. And he says, which commandment is the most important? That is, that which exceeds everything else. This is what we need to realize. This word commandment is a command with authority. It's I know some people say, well, you got the Ten Commandments, and I've heard some people say it's the Ten Suggestions. Well, a commandment is a commandment. It's given by God. It's strict. It's firm. It's this is what I say. This is what I expect you to do. So he's asking which commandment. And when we look at the scribes, they were really experts in the law. They knew the law better than anybody. They found that there were 613 commands. Wouldn't that stand to reason that the scribe would say, Lord, of the 613 commands that we find in the Pentateuch of the law of Moses, which one is most supreme? Which one is the apex of following God? Which one is the greatest? Above all, if you could have 613 commands, please, Lord, tell us which one is most important. By the way, 365 of them were negative. You wonder, I actually went back and counted them all. No, 365 of them were negative. Do not. And then others were love God, like we read this morning. Love God with all of your heart. That's positive. Some of those commands were heavy, like the one we read in Deuteronomy this morning. Some of them were light. But the reality here is that this scribe was very serious in his question with Jesus. And actually, when we think about it as believers in Jesus Christ, we should be very serious about the Word of God. We should want to know the Word of God and know what is most important. What does God want me to do more than anything in my life, more than anything else? What am I supposed to do? That should be our hearts this morning. We should want to seek what God wants for our lives and actually take the Word of God very seriously. You do remember, and I've said this before, this is the very words of God. Translated for us, and God spoke in Hebrew and Greek. That's how his voice comes out. It's interesting. And this scribe says, I want to know what is most important. And Jesus responds. He gives a response in 29 and 30. Actually, I think Jesus really liked this scribe because he saw his heart. By the way, God sees your heart today. He knows where you are on the spectrum of your Christian walk. Now, you notice Jesus answered and said, the most important, that is, which exceeds everything else. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Akouo, actually in the Greek, akouo means to hear, but it means much more than hear. I want you to see what Jesus is doing here. Jesus now is doing something a little different. Akouo, that means to hear. But it means to believe something and to respond to it on the basis of having heard. That is, that when Jesus said, hear, O Israel, which is a designation for the people of God, he says, not only do I want you to hear this, I want you to respond to this. It's like that way, it should be that way with us in the gospel. I'm often amazed, sometimes perplexed. I don't know which one's worse, either to be amazed or perplexed. Probably perplexed. How people can sit week after week and hear the gospel and not respond. We recently had two that accepted Christ. It's a big thing. You do realize that if you hear the gospel, you need to respond to it. Don't wait. Don't put it off. You realize that you're playing with eternity. And this is not about being a good Catholic. This is not about being a good Baptist. This is not about being a good Methodist. This is not about being a good Presbyterian. This is not about being a good non-denominational person. This is about trusting in Jesus Christ and not the denomination. You don't get to heaven through the Southern Baptist Convention. You get to heaven through Jesus Christ. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O people of God. Respond to God's word. That's his command for us today. Now, he goes on here. And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. You'll notice here the fourfold repetition. Notice, and I want you to underline it in your Bible if you can, with all. For emphasis, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And with all means entire being. It's not something that's done 25%. It's not something that's done at 50%, though that's better than 25%. It's not something that's done at 75%. It's not something that's done at 80%. What Jesus is calling us to is with all of our heart, with all of our being, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Now, let's unpack this just for a minute. Now, the heart, Jesus is talking about our inner self. And I want to warn us against something here, and I'll put something up in just a minute, but I want to warn us here that we're not talking about five separate things that are going on inside of us. It's okay to be a dichotomist, that man is basically body and spirit. It's okay to be a trichotomist, because I believe the scriptures maybe teach that, body, soul, and spirit, those types of things. But let's not push this to the absurdity. All right, with that in mind, he says, first of all, our soul, that is our thoughts and our feelings. This which we are inwardly in our thoughts and feelings, all of it should be fixated on loving God. All of our thoughts should be focused and pushed towards God. Is that where you are today? Is that where I am today? That's a good question. Secondly, our mind, that is thinking and deciding. I want you to see, I think Mark is doing an outflow here. He starts inwardly and then it'll eventually come out. But he's talking about our thoughts and our feelings, and then we start thinking and deciding that we are going to love God with all of our heart. That means he's got to be first. Listen, I want you to realize something. God doesn't want second place. He wants first place. And I'll tell you this from my own life, when God's not first place, I get in a lot of trouble. We all do, don't we? Yeah, I see his head. Yep, we all do. Mind, but then strength. And I guess the only way to translate it the way I can make it fit, as much as you can. That is with everything inside of you, everything moving, that every all being that you possibly have, you're going to do this. You know, I do think passionately about this. I think it's important. Strength means everything that you can muster to love God with all of your heart. And I guess if we were to really be real about it today, none of us are there. We're supposed to be. I think that's Jesus' ultimate desire, is that that be our heart. So I challenge you to look at your own life. Ask yourself the question, or maybe answer it. Is loving God the primary thing in my life? I'm just telling you, just pastor theology here just for a second. So much easier just to put him first. You know, God takes care of his people when he's first. Okay. But not only that. And by the way, you'll notice on the outline there, I put you cannot separate. Because Jesus put second, it holds to that which went before it. So you cannot separate the love of God from the love of fellow man. In other words, your relationship to God is no better than your relationship to God is no better than your relationship to your fellow man. I want you to watch this clip. It's from the Grace Card. I think it's awesome, and I think it really helps with us to understand the word. Just watch it.
I am under no illusions, brothers and sisters, that my message today will be an easy one to swallow, much less to follow. But when the Father lays it on our hearts to speak the truth, you're messing with fire if you choose to go mute. Now, there's actually a bucket full of truths he's laid on my heart this morning, but y'all don't worry. I want to get the Sunday supper just as bad as you do. We're just going to talk about one. What you and me and God got to talk about this Sunday morning is a crazy little thing called love. Now, when somebody loves you, there ain't a thing easier than loving them back. Amen? And there ain't a thing easier than loving one of our own either. Your mama and daddy, your brothers and sisters, your children, your friends. We love the people God gives us, don't we? That's because it's easy. But what about when it's not easy? What about a stranger? Or someone who ain't exactly sweetness and light? What if it's somebody who just plain don't like you?
You love them anyway, Pastor. Love them anyway.
Do we? Really? Do we really? I'm not sure I do. Especially when I can feel white eyes burning through my black skin just because of that black skin. And a certain word that seems to be on his mind. I don't feel like loving that man. And you don't either, do you? About the last thing in my heart in that moment is loving that man. And I don't know about you, but it sure seems that when God has something to teach me, he brings me a teacher. But I don't always like the lesson. And I usually don't like being taught.
Yeah, that's a real powerful clip. The Greek word here, neighbor, can be used in three different tenses. Can be used in the point of the nation of Israel, or if you want to put it in our context, Christians, or it can be put in the context of the people that live right around you. Jesus' words go a little bit further than that. It goes to include everybody, all of mankind. That is, all of those of different races, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, all of those. It includes all of those, and it also includes those that you don't get along with. So then you got to look at, you got to ask yourself the question, when Jesus is using this, and I think it's pretty clear for us that we need to do our own heart check and ask ourselves the question, do I really love others to the fullest extent? Because if not, it seems to me Jesus is saying that if that relationship is not right, then you are not loving God properly. It's a good connection. So again, you got to go back and you got to do a check. Now this next one. We're to love our fellow man, and that's what it really translates to, our fellow man, our neighbor, as ourselves. That's the quality. I want to show you this. This is funny. Yes, I'm gorgeous. Isn't that how you got? We all look at ourselves. Did I ever tell you about my brother? My brother, this was in the 70s. Peace. My brother had feathered hair. And, you know, hadn't changed a bit. Had feathered hair. And whenever he would get ready to go out for the evening to the movies, or at least that's what he told my mom, he would stand in the mirror. Staying alive, staying alive. And he had the hair blower going, blowing his hair all over the place, trying to look pretty. He was God's gift. That's right, he was God's gift. My stepfather, I'll never forget it, walked by one day and he looked at my brother doing his hair like a girl. And he just looked at me and he went. He loved himself. My brother, I'm not kidding you, I'm not overdoing it. He would stand in that mirror for 30 minutes looking at himself, checking himself out, because he was the gift. I wasn't, but that's a different point. The statement, as yourself, and this is from James Brooks, I think it's a good statement, does not justify the self-love advocated by modern psychology as necessary for a healthy self-image. By the way, your self-worth is found in Jesus Christ. It merely acknowledges that human beings do love themselves far too much, in fact, and that God deserves as much, actually far more. Because, see, our self-worth is not found in who we are externally. Our self-worth is found internally in Jesus Christ. Nobody can give you your self-worth except God. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to love yourself. And I do realize many of us love ourselves much more than we should. But this is what Jesus is saying. Take the way that you love yourself and love others the same way. That's a tough thing to do. If we were to be real about it, it's tough. But that's how you're supposed to love those that are unlovable. That's how you're supposed to love those that are tough. Those of different skin color. Those who you just don't like. That's a tough thing to do. I realize that. But that's what he's calling us to do. And keep in mind, I believe this with all of my heart, or I wouldn't be preaching it, that if that relationship is wrong, then your relationship to God is wrong. They have to be connected. Why? Here's the reason. I'm going to drop this in all of our laps this morning. Do you know why that is so important? Guess what? Every person in this room was created in the image of God. The Imago Dei. The image of God. And in the image of God, he created them, male and female. That means when you approach another person, you're approaching somebody that has God's thumbprint on them. Even if they're lost. Even if they don't know Christ. And we're supposed to respond and love them. It doesn't mean side with their sin and do their sin, but it does mean to love them the way we love ourselves and to reach out to them. So sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's hard to do. I realize that. But now he says here that loving God and loving others is better than religious sacrifices. I love this scribe's theology. I couldn't wait to get to this part of the sermon. This part of the sermon's 42 minutes. Okay, you guys are not awake. Okay. And the scribe said to him, notice this in verse 32, and the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all of our heart, and with all of our understanding, and with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as oneself, is much more than the whole of burnt offerings and sacrifices." The scribes. What I liked about this scribe, and what Jesus liked about him, was this. Number one, he was friendly to Jesus. We haven't seen this to this point. He actually agreed with Jesus. He said, "Truly, you're right." He called him teacher. I don't know whether this guy got there, but I got a feeling he did, even though the scriptures doesn't say it. He was friendly to Jesus. But then this scribe, like a true Jew, knew his theology, knew the Bible, knew the Word of God. This is what he did. He correctly translates "no other besides him." The Lord our God is one. Actually, the Greek translation is "no other besides him." This scholar, this scribe was on it. You notice that he takes Jesus' words and he translates it for him and says, "There is no other besides him." By the way, there is no other God like our God. He is so good to us. You guys realize how good God is to us? He doesn't need to be this good to us. But he is. There's no other God like him. Matter of fact, there's no other God like him when you get saved, too. Maxine, don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose that excitement and joy. Those of you that trust Christ, you know what keeps you from being joyful? Church. And people. He combines soul and mind to understanding. So much for the quadratic, or whatever it is. Trichotomy. He knew. He's talking here about understanding. Our understanding of who God is and our relationship to him. Another thing that he did here, and you'll see it when you go back and read it, is he never uses theos or God. Notice this is how the Jews, how they G-D. They never say God. Notice what he says here. He uses he and them. Notice what he says. There is no other besides him. Not God. Him. Now watch this. And to love him, translate him and he, with all of our heart, and with all of our understanding, and with all of our strength. Notice he uses, you have truly said, he is. Why doesn't he say God? Why doesn't he say theos? Actually, Yahweh. Do you know why they won't say that? I'll tell you why. Two reasons. And I checked with my friend Kirk Glebe, Messianic Jew. By the way, he'll be here next month. Just so I could make sure that I was right in telling you this. Number one, they don't think they really know how to translate it. They're not sure they can truly say it correctly. Secondly, they are afraid to blaspheme the name of God. Got me to thinking about how casually we use the name God. God told me. Is that taking the Lord's name in vain? I think the Jews are right on this. I think we need to be careful about how we use the name of God and how we put it out there. God told me to tell you. Oh, please, you go ahead and do that. I don't think that's right. I think we can learn from this scribe here. Wonderfully translated. Excellently done by this scribe. So we need to be careful. Now notice what he also says here. Is much more. This scribe knew that these two commands that were found in the Old Testament is much more than the whole of burnt offerings and sacrifices. Sacrificial system. This was from the Old Testament. There were five basic sacrifices. One was a special offering. By the way, Chris, this is for after the birth of a child, they would do this offering. It was a special offering. It was done morning and evening and at other special times. It did require a sacrifice. And this is what this scribe's talking about here. He's talking about that loving God and loving others is better than God's sacrificial system. I don't think this guy's far from heaven. Honestly, I don't. Jesus says it too. Grain offering did not require sacrificial lamb, but it was actually a harvest blessing. We thank God for the blessings that you've given us. There was a third one, which I thought was, the fourth one's actually what I thought was cool. Peace offering is actually thanksgiving to God. That required a blood sacrifice. All of these except number two required a blood sacrifice. Number four, I'm losing count. Okay. Sin offering or unintentional sin. Oops. You got to go to the priest. The priest has to take an offering. Unintentional. Didn't mean to do it. And no, kids, you can't get away with hitting your brother and sister and say, I didn't mean to do it. Unintentional sin. That required a sacrifice. And then there was another one, which was a guilt offering, and that was restitution. And this scribe is looking at all of the commands and the sacrificial system, and he's saying to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself far exceeds religious practices. You know what? I think that stands today. 1 Samuel 15:22. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, To obey is better than sacrifice. This scribe knew this. And to listen than the fat of rams. Listen, God cares much more about obedience than he does worship. We get carried away. We come to church, we jump up and down, and we scream and we shout. Yeah, I raise my hand. It's okay. It's cool. Because God knows my heart, where that's coming from. That's a difference. But we get all excited about worship. Oh, we got the best praise band in Tolona, which we do, by the way, I think. We get all excited about worship. Can't wait to worship. Going to jump up and down, do a cartwheel in the pews. And we get all excited about that. Oh, we love the praise. We love. But then what do you do on Monday? That's the key. That's where the rubber hits the road. That's when it means to become. That's what it means at that point. That relationship. Yes, it's good to worship. Don't get me wrong. It is good to worship. But if your life doesn't match what you do on Sunday morning, then what do you do with that? That just means that you come and you worship and you'd be seen by men and by women praising God and then go out. You don't love God. You don't love others. You're always saying bad things about them. I don't like that group. I don't like that guy. I don't like doing this. And yet, you come to church and you worship and you praise and you want all the tweeters. And I like tweeters and woofers, by the way. And the drums. I like that. That's awesome. That's awesome. I like this too. I like PowerPoint. You guys know that. I've developed this stuff as I've gone along. Not me developing PowerPoint, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. That's all fine and well, but you know what God wants more than anything? He wants obedience. God says it, we do it, that settles it. And you turn your heart and everything else towards those commands, and it doesn't mean that you're saved by those commands. You know this as well as I do. Once you place your trust in Jesus Christ and not a denomination, once you place your trust in Jesus Christ and believe in him that he died. By the way, Jesus left heaven, came down here to be born as a baby, then walked a sinless life, took that sinless life, put it right on the cross, nailed to the cross. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, took our place, nailed, done. And once Jesus died, guess what? He died because I should have died. He took my place. There was a substitution. So when I stand before God someday, Jesus is going to say, okay, he's covered because my blood covered him. Now, once you get there, then from that point, you move on and try to do what God tells you to do. That means when, and you know this is true, guys, you know this is true. You read this word and you go, I struggle there. So do I. So do I. I'm a struggling sojourner with you. But when you read it, you go, okay, God, I struggle there, but with your power, I'm gonna with the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm gonna do this. This scribe knew something that most Christians don't. That God doesn't care about the externals, he cares about the internals. He doesn't care how pretty we look. He doesn't care how gifted we are. Though I speak with tongues of angels and can move the stars and the moon and I do not have love, I am nothing. And then notice, lastly, Jesus' response. Verse 34. I think, and I don't know this scripturally, I don't know if this is actually true, but I think, and he says, and when Jesus said that he answered wisely, he said to them, said to him, this scribe who was not trying to pick Jesus' theology apart, he just wanted to know for his own self. Watch what he says. He said to him, you are not far from the kingdom. After that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Jesus passed the test. I think though I can't prove this, I really believe this scribe came to know Christ. It's because I'm a nice guy and I want to believe everybody gets saved. There's other times in Scripture we don't know. The rich young ruler that went away, he was sad because he was a man of great wealth. I don't know. But I'm a nice enough guy just to believe that I hope these guys turn to Christ. And let me just say this. You may be closer to the kingdom of God today than you've ever been in your life. And I want to challenge you right at the end of this to just come forward, walk down here, and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Simple thing to do. You have to believe it within your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, paid for them completely. Once you do that, you come down here. You can start your eternity right here. Maybe in your own heart today, you don't love God like you should, and you know it. That's what this altar's for. I thought about making these first four seats the repentant seat, but it sounds too rough. You know what I mean. That means if you're not right in your relationship with God, if you're not in right in your relationship with God, you know it's a quick fix. Did you guys know that? This is all you got to say. God, I'm sorry. Wow. But there also has to be conviction with that. We understand that. Maybe you're not loving your neighbor like you should. The guy next door that messes with you all the time. Maybe you need to go over and say hi. Don't hit him or her. Look at others and say, I'm going to try to love them the way, and I use the word try. Try to love them the way that you love me and the way that I love myself. I think that's the greatest commandment. That's the greatest commandment. Love God. Love others. The worship thing, it'll really come out of your heart if you're doing the first two right.